Sail away on a ball and chain and keep us from the roaring waves. Get her on the voided, but forever we'll be free. So sail away aboard a rig, the moon is full and so are we. Seven drunken pirates, we're the seven deadly sins. Yeah!
Hello and welcome to Adaptation, the podcast for in-depth discussion on books and their film adaptations. This is episode 6 for March 17th, 2012, aka St. Patrick's Day, where we will discuss Suzanne Collins' book, The Hunger Games. I'm your host, Kendall Bryant.
Corey Brooks.
Jessica Dick.
And Chase Piper.
Yeah! This is Chase's first time on Adaptation, so why don't you introduce yourself?
All right. Let's see. I am from Michigan, studying international relations. Not really sure what else.
To say he lives with us.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Jess and I.
Which is pretty awesome.
He's wearing an Ireland cape right now.
He is, because it's St. Patrick's Day, and he's Irish.
Yeah.
Gotta
are you? You are Irish.
Oh, I am very much Irish, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. So, yeah, we met Chase randomly, even though we're all from Michigan. We met him by becoming roommates in
England.
In England, yeah. Of all places.
Yeah.
Except for me, I'm not their roommate. I'm just awesome.
You're just awesome. But you're also not from Michigan, so it's less of a coincidence that we met you.
True. Yeah.
The fact that we were at the same school before having came here and had never met there and met now, yeah.
Yeah, which is actually Jess and I's story, too.
Yep.
But we just met at school. You are our roommate.
And, one step further.
Yeah. I love how we didn't know what school he went to before we decided to be roommates with him. Whatever, we're rooming with random people. It's cool. Anyways, so we all, four of us, went to the Hunger Games red carpet this past Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Which was awesome. We dressed as the prep team. So, it was really cool. Corey was Cinna, and I was Octavia.
And I was Venia.
And obviously, I was Flavia.
Obviously.
Because, you know, I wasn't a boy either.
Yeah, no. it was cool. We made new friends and saw stars.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
got ignored by stars.
Got
well.
Ignored. Oh, so bad.
Yeah, I know. We were the only ones dressed up, and our costumes were amazing. And also, if you want to see our costumes, I added a photo page to the Adaptation site with our pictures on it of our costumes because they were so cool. But we were the only ones dressed up, and we thought, oh, for sure the stars are going to see us and be like, oh my god, you guys are so cool. And nobody did. No one even looked at us because they're all just, like, signing stuff and they don't, like, really look at the people, which is sad.
It really is. We got ignored by Josh Hutcherson.
We, like, really got ignored. He didn't even come to our section.
I know!
But I did get Elizabeth Banks and Liam Hemsworth's autographs on my paper.
Very nice.
On my Metro. Very nice. So, that's exciting. But you guys got all the good pictures.
Yeah.
So.
I attempted to get Josh Hutcherson.
I love in some of your pictures, you can see my green hand.
I dyed your green hand.
Did you?
I think, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I was like looking for it in all the pictures. Because I knew it was there.
Yes.
So we should move into what's coming up in theaters. I'm not even sure if this counts, technically, but the Deep Blue Sea is an adaptation of a play. I figured it counts. It's an adaptation. That's cool. And it comes out March 30th in the U.S., and it actually came out last November in the U.K., but whatever.
I think I saw posters for that.
It's got Rachel Weisz, Tom Hiddleston, and Simon Russell Beale in it. The only person in that list I know is Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Terrence Davies. The play was by Terrence Rattigan, and it was from 1952. And it tells the story of Hester Collier after a failed attempt at suicide and the relationship that helps her make the decision to continue living. So it's, like, fairly...
Depressing?
Depressing. Well, not depressing. She decides to live, so that's good and stuff. So, yeah, it sounds kind of depressing. and it was also it was also adapted into a movie in 1955 starring Vivian Leigh and Kenneth Moore, so that's kind of cool. So we can't see it because it came out in November.
Yeah.
But I might see it if I was in America, and you should. So that's cool. And the other one is something we're really excited about, which is Mirror Mirror. It comes out March 30th in the U.S. and March 16th in the U.K. And it's directed by Tarsem Singh, hopefully said right. And it stars Lily Collins, Julie Roberts, Army Hammer, which is the best name that I've ever heard, and Sean Bean. And it is, of course, based on Snow White by the Grimm Brothers, and I don't think I need to tell you what that's about. But we are going to be doing a adaptation episode on it and other versions of Snow White. Basically, I just made a massive list via Wikipedia of all of the written and movie adaptations of it, and we're going to pick and choose and talk about them.
Okay.
In, I think, at episode number 8, just 2 from now. So that's cool. Anyways, The Hunger Games. Wow, I was there was like silence and I was expecting excitement. The Hunger Games.
Excitement went beyond vocal expression.
It was me.
Yes. The Hunger Games is the first in a trilogy by Suzanne Collins, and it was published in 2008. It is the story of Katniss Everdeen, a 16-year-old girl living in a futuristic world where North America has been split into 13 districts, ruled over by the Capitol, who forced each district to sacrifice one boy and one girl to fight in the yearly Hunger Games, where the 12 to 18-year-olds will fight to survive until there is only one left. And that does not even begin to cover it.
No, it does not.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have a place to start? Because I have quite a list of things.
Well, I was going to say the beginning, but that just seems too cliche.
Start at the very beginning. That was on recording. Well, I just sang. Okay. It seems kind of obvious to start with the government, but let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Do the obvious. Somebody say something about the government.
Dictatorship?
It's even more than that. It's like
worse.
Complete control. It's ridiculous. Just how much they manipulate the outer districts.
I have the word brainwashing written down.
At least the capital residents are
super brainwashed, which is actually what I was thinking.
And even some in District 1 and District 2.
Yeah.
After that,
because they have an English, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Districts 1, 2, and 3 are kind of like...
1, 2, and 4. Those are the career districts.
I thought 4 was, Phoenix. Shit.
That's fine. You can mention characters that come about. Just don't spoil anything.
I thought that was Phoenix district.
It is. He's usually, like, the careers from 1, 2, and 4. Because if you think about it,
Because 3 is the technology. That's right. That's where Pete...
That's
where the kid in the first one who rigs the bomb.
Thank you, because the only ones I can think of were,
I know what you mean. But he rigs the bomb, so he's not technically considered a career.
That's right, it's 1, 2, and 4, that's right.
Yeah, I always wondered why it skipped 3.
Technology dweebs? They're really not that strong.
They're intelligent, maybe.
It doesn't make you wonder why in the
it's
world...
It's the geeky district!
It does make you wonder, though, why in the world the seafood district
is
a career and the geeky district.
Because it probably takes muscle,
it definitely does to work on a ship.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We had this conversation the other day, kind of, but I just wanted to bring up the prep team in terms of brainwashing because... Mm-hmm. Well, because we had, like, a 10-minute conversation about it the other day, and I thought it was a good one. One of the things that Katniss consistently says about the prep team is that they're, like, pets, and she contributes them to... Attributes them to animals. There's
like
birds and pets and probably something else I'm forgetting.
She, like... Yeah. Dehumanizes them a little bit, and yet at the same time you can see where she's coming from because they're flitting all over the place and they never really seem to say much of substance and they just seem so simple and they understand, like, but that's where you see the brainwashing come in, is that it's their capital life. They don't care about anything beyond their entertainment and their clothes. And in fact, at the end of the book it even says, like, they're talking to her about her role in the game, but it's only in reference to where they were at that point.
Right.
It's like, I was getting my hair done when you were doing this.
Yeah. I think that, well, there's a lot of things. First, it's the 74th Hunger Games. So that means that this has been their entire life.
Yeah.
And I guess it's been the district's entire life too, but...
It's not something they look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Capitol does.
I mean, it's quite an obvious thing to say, but it's basically like our reality TV or like an extreme version.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't watch it? wanting people to fight. I do. That's why I watch reality TV usually. So.
I actually really hate reality TV.
Well, then you wouldn't live in the capital, would you?
Apparently not.
You wouldn't like living in the capital, because there would be a difference.
Yeah.
And that might lead us to talking about Senna.
Yeah, that's definitely what you get from Senna.
Right.
He's not your typical capital citizen. He's definitely more refined. He's not as flamboyant as the rest of the press.
He's not
simple. He's simple. He's put together very simply but stylishly, and he's just so open-minded, and he's just kind.
He understands,
too.
He's not simple like the prep team is. He understands that the Hunger Games are not entertainment. That they're actually bad for the people who are going into them.
Which brings me to your point.
I'm super, super convinced that Senna is not from the capital.
Yeah.
Like, really convinced. I'd really like to know whether or not he was supposed to be, because... And somebody else actually thought of this, and I didn't, that he could have been from the textile district, and... Maybe he was just that good. He does an amazing job as her stylist.
He does.
And maybe he was just that good, and the Capitol said, wait a minute, we don't want the districts having this talent. Let's bring it, you know, kind of to us. I mean, I'm sure that it doesn't happen that often. I'm sure the Capitol doesn't like to take people from the districts, but when in extreme cases, I'm sure that they do. And I feel like Senna is one of them because he seems so un-Capitol.
Do you really think it's impossible for someone in the Capitol to rise above what they've been brainwashed to be, though?
Now you make me sound like a bad person. I don't mean to say that they couldn't, but I would still feel that I would see more Capitol attributes. Like, maybe they would care and be caring like Senna, but they would still decorate themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that was what they knew, and they had the ability to do it, so why not? You know, but he doesn't, and that makes me think that that's one of the things, I suppose, that makes me think that, so.
Yeah, I mean, it also could just be that he focuses so much more on other people's beauty as opposed to his own, so that it's easier for him to get all of his creative lumps out when he's not focusing on his own style.
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't think that. Mm. But I love Senna.
I love Senna so much.
Probably one of my all-time, I mean, like, top-of-the-list characters in the entire series.
I know. I agree.
Anyways. Another thing I have written down is another obvious one. Hunger and survival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what... I mean, you kind of get it in this one, but you don't see them going against it, really. But, like, you put a bunch of people in an arena and tell them to fight to the death, and they're going to kill each other. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of... human need to survive.
Yeah.
Versus that kind of learned...
survival?
No, I wanted to say, like, the learned rule that you don't kill another person.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the big reasons, because I wondered about this too when I was reading it, is, like, none of them enjoy having to go in, except for the careers who kind of see it as an opportunity to show off. Mm-hmm. None of the other kids really enjoy going in there, so why don't they all group together and just agree to not partake in, you know, the Hunger Games, not kill each other. But the Capitol works on that, too, by basically saying, if you don't do it, then we're going to kill you.
Right.
You know, the fire and the mutts and all of these different things that still make an interesting game.
Yeah.
And so you'd almost rather have somebody who understands kill you quick as opposed to let something like that happen.
Yeah. One of the things going along those lines is that... Katniss seems to know while she's in the arena that if there have been no deaths so far, that day the Capitol's going to do something to, like, cause it.
Yeah.
And if somebody has died that day, she knows, by whatever means that it is, she knows that the Capitol's going to be satisfied and that they're not going to throw anything at her for a little bit. So...
yeah, she's been watching the games. Obviously not enjoying it like the Capitol people do.
Yeah.
But she's been watching it and been able to pinpoint those patterns and such.
I really wonder about that. Because she seems to be almost really intelligent about all the different aspects of the game. And I wonder if all of the other tributes were as knowledgeable.
Yeah, about how to play to the cameras like that.
Playing to the cameras, playing to... Yeah. just knowing, like we just mentioned, like knowing, okay, well, the Capitol's not going to do anything, or they are going to do something, I should be ready kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, like you said, like playing with the sponsors and playing with the viewers who are watching to see about that. Like, when she first finds out that Kita's with the careers,
mm-hmm.
and she knows that the cameras are going to be on her, and everyone's like, oh my gosh.
And so she's heard.
So she...
Secret smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does a secret smile like, oh, I knew all along.
Right.
So it does, she plays with them. She knows what to do, or she knows how to play it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is also, I mean, like, why Haymitch is so supportive of her.
Yeah.
He understands. He, I mean, from the beginning, I think he understood that she was a survivor.
Yeah.
Especially since,
I think that's
you know,
why he decides
home.
To help.
Yeah, because back home,
first place.
What she is, she's a survivor. She
mm-hmm.
she hunts for her family. She provides for her family. She has been doing it since her father died. So.
And everybody else knows, too. Even PETA's mother.
Exactly. Yes. So it's just like, you
yeah.
know, that's just a natural talent. So she just knows how to play people and play situations. So she comes out at least, if not on top, I don't necessarily think you can come out on top in the situation,
yeah.
just surviving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else have something to say?
I was going to move it on a little bit from there by saying, okay, she's so... Katniss is... really good at playing the audience, especially playing the romance part with Peeta.
Oh, yeah.
Or
well, at knowing what she's supposed to do.
Yeah, knowing
yeah.
what she's supposed to do. Yeah, she's so stupid about seeing what's actually going on.
Yes.
I think part of what... because she doesn't really realize that Peeta actually likes her. And I think part of that is her own mindset of everything's against me, that she's putting that onto other people, too. I see her as kind of assuming, well, if I'm thinking this way, other people must, even if they
mm-hmm.
aren't. And so I think that's part of it, where she can't get past her own view of the world to see how other people might view things or
mm-hmm.
want to move forward. So,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, not to, like, go too far on, but I think that's a recurring
Ooh,
problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I agree. She just, I don't know. And the way that she thinks about things, too, is really, really based. She constantly is saying, well, I don't see what use that is. How is that going to help me
yep.
survive? How is that going to help my family?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not useful.
Yeah.
And she doesn't quite get it when other people don't think that way.
Yep.
Just like in the beginning where she talks about how Gale will go on rants about the Capitol, and she's like, why yell about it? It's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
That has no use for me. I might as well just go hunting or whatever, you know,
yeah.
kind of thing. Like, that doesn't have use in my life.
She's uber logical about her life
mm-hmm.
in a way that's not necessarily productive at all.
Right.
Like,
well,
she,
it gets her the goals, you know, that she set.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, like, but not necessarily
very,
productive in certain ways. Like,
yeah.
emotionally,
well,
she's shut herself down,
yeah.
basically, since her dad died. And it's just like...
And her
she,
mom
and her mom and her
abandoned
mom,
her.
Yeah. So she just became... what she became, survival, logic on survival, and whatever needs to survive just consumed her life so that everything else just got shut down.
Yeah.
And that's how she stuck.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the problem with that, kind of moving into what we've already said, is that she's logical to the point where she doesn't understand that other people aren't always logical.
Yeah.
And that's where she fails in some areas to understand the people, what the people around her are doing, thinking,
mm-hmm.
feeling.
I think... just one thing to add to that, I think maybe the fact that she saw her mom break down so much due to the kind of emotional aspect of, you know, the relationship between her parents, maybe she intentionally, you know, developed that sort of
mm-hmm.
rational mind to say, I'm never going to be like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's, you know, it's something that came about after.
That makes complete sense. That
yeah.
and combined with the world that she lives in, sitting around being like, I will never have a family because I don't want to
yeah.
put kids in the games and I don't want to, you know,
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of thing. I think that a lot of things that lead her to be that way, definitely.
Yeah. yeah.
So that worked in really well into my next point, which is basically I wrote down just so that I could have a rant that you will all knowingly have once I say that I wrote down the word romance. Sorry. And everybody knows the reason everyone's laughing is because I am so adamant that this is not a romantic book.
No.
No.
And I agree.
This has nothing to do with romance. There's I might say team, but I really think it's really stupid. I hate that they do team Peeta, team Gale in the like advertisements.
This is not
fucking like
Twilight.
It's not Twilight. And so very, very far away from Twilight.
No.
Yeah.
It's not what it's about. Like, you look at Twilight and the main thing in that is a romance. Hunger Games is a tiny subplot that adds drama,
mm-hmm.
but the main thing around it is this dystopian society. It's about conquering government or fighting against the man, and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And
it's just so much deeper than that.
And just, oh, it's just, I dislike it.
And I mean, I don't even understand, I mean, I get that, you know, people are all like, oh my god, she's kissing Peter in the freaking cave. Ooh. I mean, really? How is that romantic? He's dying from blood poisoning. They're starving to death. It's
and
pouring
only,
down rain.
And she's playing for the captain.
Yeah, exactly.
She's playing.
Literally
she's
do, well, no, technically, she's playing for Haymitch,
yeah,
who's playing
exactly.
for the capital.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, really? I mean, that's not romantic. That's survival.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Again, that brings
that's
us right
all,
back to survival.
That's where how she views things.
I mean,
which sucks for PETA.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm like, you know, it's real for PETA. And that's why I absolutely adore his character too,
mm-hmm.
because he's just so pure about it.
Mm-hmm.
He just loves her. He does. And he's willing to do just about anything to make sure she makes it out of the game, even if it means he dies.
What's really interesting about that is we've been talking about how Katniss knows what to do to play the cameras. He knows what to do to play to get her to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he knew that presenting the star-crossed lover thing from the beginning would help her.
Right.
Eventually, and would keep her alive.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't feel like he's playing. Like, I feel like he was like, this is a good angle. I feel like he does know that it's
yes.
right, but I
yes.
feel like all the time he's like, actually, what's going to get us the best is if I'm just honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
if I'm just yeah, he's basically sincere
yeah.
pretty consistently.
He's a sincere, kind, honest guy, and it's just like, this is just a situation that kind of just everything up. Excuse my language.
Okay.
Messed everything up. Excuse my language. Bleep me out.
Yeah. God, that's why I feel like the end is so sad, because
yeah.
because he realizes that she was just playing the cameras.
Oh, I know.
And
I felt
like,
all right,
one more time for the cameras. I'm like, oh, you poor thing. I'm so sorry.
I know.
And, yeah.
I do have to say that I feel that the reason the book isn't, like, romantic is because her character isn't. But part of it is that she starts to redevelop through her interaction with PETA and kind of questioning whether who she's interested in. She's redeveloping emotions, and kind of the romantic part comes out of her maybe actually opening up to somebody more than she would have in the past. Because
yeah.
she trusted Gale, but she was still very reserved with him. And I feel like that would be the one romantic aspect, is the fact that she's actually starting to let her emotions kind of even be questioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still, you can't go as far as to say it's like, you know, Twilight, oh my gosh, head over heels
yeah.
sort of thing.
Oh yeah, no,
one of the things
not.
That I really was thinking about during the reread that I just did, and this might be being a not super large amount, but a fair amount older than the characters here. Because Katniss keeps so much of herself, like, inside, because she kind of blank face all the time, she presents the kind of persona that she needs to, not just in the games,
yeah.
but previous to it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if PETA could actually love her who she is, at the beginning at least, before, I mean, if it's really just kind of a more high school
yeah.
thing
yeah.
where he just saw
he
her
loves the
around.
Idea of her as
yeah.
opposed to actually her.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually know her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm not saying that maybe eventually that doesn't correct itself, but
There's
yeah.
definitely an element of, you know, crush rather than an actual
mm-hmm.
for him. Well, and I think that's one of the things that is shown in one of the clips of the movies too. I don't recall how it was written in the book, but in the movie clip at least, he does say, I have a crush on somebody,
mm-hmm.
and then da 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 da, oh, she came with me.
Right.
I don't know, do you remember
the
exact word?
In the book, he just says, well, there's a girl. And then Caesar goes off on it. Oh, well, here's what you do. And then he says, that won't help in my case. She came here with me. So, yeah. Oh, he does say something like, a lot of the boys back home like her. So I think that kind of amps it up to where, like, oh, she's this desirable thing. But,
yeah,
which was really brilliant considering her inability to be desirable in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
To be fair. I actually really kind of disliked her a lot in her interview, where she's giggling about her dress and stuff. I was like, I would hate that girl.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Now, that part, yes, like, the twirling and the giggling, I was like, oh my gosh, you just seem so vapid right now. But when her little, what do you like best about the Capitol? The lamb stew. I was like, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then whenever she was talking about Prim, that's good.
Yeah.
And yet,
right.
I sort of feel like she didn't come across as honest as Tia did.
That whole thing, though, was set up by Haymitch and Cinna to make her appealing to the Capitol residents, who are going to love this really foofy little girl that's spinning and talking about good food. You know, that was, and I feel that's the genius of those two people, too.
Yeah.
Is they know what she has to come across as. And then when, you know, because they know what PETA's going to say, when he goes out there and says his part, everybody in the Capitol is like, I totally understand why he loves her. Because if, you know, if they knew she's back there being a gruff little, you know, dirty girl, they're going to think, what is this crazy person thinking? So there really is some genius behind her interview, but it makes, you know, it's not her.
Yeah.
It's very much setting it up for PETA, basically.
And then she has the 11, the mysterious 11 that people are like, okay, she's this girl, and yet somehow, she's got something there. So there's something beyond
quite the trick.
I can't get enough of this world, pretty much. Like, not only do I need these books written from PETA's perspective, but I need them written from Cinna's perspective. And, like, I am completely intrigued by all of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that Katniss doesn't know about.
Oh, I know.
I agree.
You don't get as much of it. I'm not going to say too much, but you don't get as much of it in this book as you do in future books, but realization that's happening, but in this book, you do have, obviously, PETA and Haymitch plan this. Obviously, Cinna was somehow involved. I think, you know, Cinna's obviously doing something. We talked about this, too, the other day. I really think that there's something to do with Madge and her father. I didn't think that the first time, but I thought it the second time I read it. Because when she gives her the pin, it says there's something urgent in her voice. She's insistent. You have to promise to wear this in the arena.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense, except for that there's this bird on this pin that is basically mocking the Capitol.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing, it's something that they didn't mean to create.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, so many perspectives I need. I need to know, and it bothers me so much that Katniss doesn't know.
I know,
that's true. Well, I can say, too, also, I appreciate the fact that the movies are going to be a different perspective. They're not, you know, it's not going to be Katniss's point of view, and so you are going to get some of that through the movies that the books can't offer, and I do like that point.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to maybe bug people about the movie, but I think, like you're saying, you want to see those other aspects. So.
Yeah. I basically was going to, I have that on my thing when we talk about our expectations for the movie.
Right.
But I'll just say it now, which is something that I probably will say a lot on this podcast, because when we're talking about book-to-movie adaptations, something I think about a lot is the perspective that the book is in, and I personally think that filmmakers have a really hard job when they are in the head, specifically in the mind of one character, because you know what she's thinking, and I think that, not to bring it up too much, but, like, that's really where Twilight was so messed up as a movie, because it was completely something that was taking place in somebody's head, and there was so much emotion, just like I think in this, now I'm not saying that the Hunger Games can be messed up because there's a lot of action and stuff, but they have a hard job.
Yeah,
they definitely
the
do.
The first person perspective really is
just really difficult. And like you said, I'm glad that they'll be able to go outside of it and that Suzanne Collins is a part of it because she's going to know what was happening outside of it. So I feel like we might get more canon information from the movie, which will be fabulous.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
And she, I mean, like she said that she was really pleased with how the movie turned out because she's seen, I saw a tweet from her, and she said that she was really pleased with how it turned out. So, I mean, if the author is pleased.
Yeah, and you know, at least you're getting good information out of it.
Yeah,
not always an indication.
No, that's true. However, I'm going to cut this off because we're going to talk about the movie in a second.
Okay.
Anybody have any other, like, thematic stuff that they really need to talk about? I only have one more. Only one more after we've already done a bunch. Okay. Well, I have family, which is an interesting one. I just got, again, on my reread this last time, was super intrigued by Katniss's mother. Something that I said, I probably maybe should have mentioned this earlier, but Jess and I studied this book series in our capstone class for our lit course, or for our lit majors, and I was telling her that there was a lot, I did my reread, and I was like, oh, I could have written my final essay on this, and I could have written it on that, and one of the things was Katniss's mother.
Yeah.
I was really intrigued by just that entire, and we already kind of talked about her, but I think it's interesting how there's, how the family dynamics are in this, because Katniss is basically the mother in her family.
And also, her, the family ties just in general, like, obviously, she and Prim, like,
are
she loves
so
Prim so much that she took her place, and yet you look at Peeta's family, and Rue's family, who... No one volunteered for her. No one volunteered for
her. Rue was the oldest.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. She was 12. Okay.
Yeah.
So she,
Peeta's family, however.
Peeta's family, who
had,
two
older
brothers.
Yeah.
One probably
and
wasn't, like, was beyond.
Right, but there was one person that could have gone.
Yeah.
And it says that what she has done, what Katniss has done, is the radical thing.
Right.
Like, family ties only go so far through the rethink.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can even see that aspect when you hear Peeta talk about what his mom says to him later.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll finally have a winner. She's a survivor.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's basically the other thing I'm going to bring up with Peeta's family.
Yeah.
Well, and kind of the disjunction, I think. Well, okay. Focus on one thing, Kendall. Okay. Going back to Katniss's family for a second, I was going to say also the weirdness, because she's so close with Prim, and yes, she so much so that she does the radical thing to take her place, and she is so not close with her mother.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where she is, I mean, she's just completely angry with her most of the time. She hates the thought of even showing that she might need her in any way.
Yeah.
She says, I think when her mom does her hair that day, that she doesn't normally let her do it because she doesn't want her to think that she needs her. And there's just this so much anger there that I think is funny, because she has these family ties that are so strong and then so weak at the same time.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so anyways, and Peeta's family is just, I don't even know. I don't even know, because you think about his mother and how mean she is with the bread thing in the flashbacks, but then his dad brings Katniss cookies and promises to feed Prim, and...
Apparently, he used to love Katniss's mother, and there's this whole backstory. I want to know about the baker. Like, what?
Screw the boy with the bread. Tell us about the baker.
What was his story? Like, he has this really interesting dynamic. How did he end up with a shrew of a wife?
I know. Well, that's why, one of the reasons I was like, why didn't I write an essay on Katniss's mother? Because I could have explored all of that.
Interesting.
But yeah, I can't think of any other families now.
That you really get a close
look
at.
No. Not really. I mean, Gale's family, you don't get a good look at it in the family. You just know that he has one and that he takes care of it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why his mom, she's just not able to take care of them? Or?
No, she works.
She works, but there's five of them or something.
Yeah,
there's
too
so
many.
Many
for them.
Yeah, there's just only so much, because he's not old enough to work yet at that point.
Right.
So he can't bring him in income.
Yeah.
And there's only so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 19, was it, Tessa? accessory that Gale had to take? Something like that.
Oh, he was in the 42 thing 42
times.
Times.
42.
Yeah.
But that was his last briefing, yes?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
No kidding. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Okay. The next kind of things I have are just characters. I have Katniss. I don't know if we kind of covered that.
Yeah.
Gale.
We haven't really covered him yet.
We haven't really covered him.
I think Gale's a noble character, but he's just, I mean, because he takes care of his family, he works really hard, he obviously has strong ties.
He not only takes care of his family, he takes care of hers.
Yeah.
When she's gone.
Yeah,
he takes
and
care of her.
He obviously has strong feelings for her, you can tell. But he's just so angry. I mean, she's angry, but she's angry at her immediate world. He's angry at everything. Yeah. A lot of the time.
In my opinion, he has every right to be angry.
Yeah. Well, yes, he does, but it's just,
he doesn't always deal with it in the best way, aka snapping at Madge about her dress, like, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I totally get it. And I think that he knows what he's doing in a sense, because she does mention that when he talks about the Tesserae and everything as the Capitol's way of making sure that they hate each other.
Yeah.
So he knows that he is basically being bullied into hating Madge.
Yeah.
But
because of
he still can't stop his anger,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, some people are just angry.
Yeah.
I love Gale, so I'm not gonna lie. So.
Well, we don't see much of him.
We don't.
No,
I'm not
no,
talking
we
about
don't.
It. I didn't say anything. I just love him, okay? I feel like it's justifiable anger though, and I don't dislike him.
I don't dislike him either. And I really can't finish that thought because it would be a spoiler.
Right.
But
yeah.
It is okay.
Yeah.
We'll just move on then. I'm sorry I brought it up.
I keep thinking, yeah.
This one will be a little bit better. Hey Mitch.
Love him.
Me too.
He's Katniss, you know, I mean, just a man and much older.
I know.
And drunk.
And drunk. Which I feel like, you know.
Even better.
But, oh my gosh, he's so messed up too. If you think about, like, how many years he's had to mentor these poor kids who are going into the arena and just dying.
Alone, too. Every other district has, you know, they can switch it out or, you know, chat. He's getting connections to these kids that just die every year. So.
Yeah. And I think Katniss mentioned that in reference to his drinking, I think, in this one, yes?
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that she doesn't mention the fact that he was in the games for his drinking.
Yeah, which I
would, that, I mean, regardless of mentoring kids and seeing them die, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
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 That
absolutely.
Simple
that,
fact is...
You can get them. Severe PTSD from
is
that.
Ooh, yes.
Enough for me to understand him spending the rest of his life in an alcoholic stupor.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And the fact that he won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 23 other people had to die for him to win.
Yeah.
And I don't. We don't find
more,
any of it out.
More. He was in.
He was in the quarter quell.
So they sent in double that year.
Oh.
So he had 47 other people had to die for him to win, because there was.
Was there 13 districts at the time, too?
No.
Okay, no, because that's
no,
the
no,
Hunger
no,
Games.
Yeah.
That's why there's Hunger Games. Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
So 47.
So, I don't actually think we ever know how many of them were his kills. Obviously,
yeah.
The last one
yeah.
has to be his kill.
Yeah, but no.
Spoiler.
No, it has to be.
Yeah.
That was true.
I mean... In every game, the last person standing probably had to kill the other last person standing.
True story.
I would assume. Except for in the one where they freeze to death, probably.
Probably.
That's
a whole other thing. Anyways, I'm just saying, alcoholic stupor.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he's the kind of person that's smart enough to realize what had to happen, too. Some people could maybe just shut it out, but he would, you know, he would focus on it and really realize.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's interesting, and kind of going back to what you said about Katniss growing a little bit, is when she is still, like, before she goes into the games, they have wine at dinner, and she has a little bit, and she says, and she gets, like, that fuzzy feeling, and she says, why would Haymitch ever want to feel like this? And then later, when she realizes, like, when she does mention how he had to watch all of the kids die, doesn't she say, maybe I get it now or something like that?
Yeah.
There's a point.
It might be in later books. She might actually say it. It's not super spoilery, though.
No.
I'm just saying that she does eventually understand why he would want to be like that.
Yeah.
And
yet you still see just how smart he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's so smart.
I mean, we talked about Katniss and Peeta playing with the audience. He is the ultimate playmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows what to do. He knows the tricks. He knows how to signal to Katniss that she's doing things right or wrong.
I love that part. I love that entire dynamic. I love Katniss and Haymitch. I love that Peeta comes out and says, you're just like each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you get it.
Yeah.
Or that's why, doesn't he say that's why he dislikes her? Because they're just like, or why
you always
fight or whatever.
You always fight the most with somebody you have the most in common with.
Right. Because certain qualities can't.
You
have to be opposites in some way.
Yeah,
I agree. There's so much, I just love their relationship. And in, yes. No spoilers. But no, even in this, I love that she gets it. I mean, from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, she's thinking, she immediately is like, why am I not getting water? Seriously, nobody can afford water. Oh, Haymitch must be trying to tell me something. I never would have thought of that.
No, me either.
But it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, and they didn't, it's not like they discussed it, you know?
No.
She just knew.
She just knew.
So, anyways, anything else for Haymitch that's not spoilery?
He's just amazing. And
he's so good. I love him. I love his drunkenness. He's so funny, though. Like, the stuff he says, the way that he says it is fabulous.
Yeah, his very dry, lovable humor. Yeah, I got some advice for you. Stay alive.
Yeah.
Okay,
It's funny because they, like, are so angry about it, obviously because their lives are at stake, but I thought it was funny.
he's good at making a very sharp point about things.
What
she should know, basically.
Once he just kind of stops drinking so much that he's falling off stages, he's super likable.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just say she's got spunk, and then he points into the camera at the reading and says, more than you.
Yes.
Who is he talking to? Do we think?
Right?
Like,
Oh, so good.
That could be so interesting to think about that. Because especially, no spoilers, but especially knowing his role in the later series.
Yeah.
Who in the world?
Well, so smart. And that's the reason that I want like something from his perspective or Cinna's or somebody that's behind the scenes, because I want to know where everything started.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's beside the point. Peeta, I think we've kind of
covered
his beautiful sincerity. Cinna?
And his beautiful bum.
We've kind of covered
that and our love for him, at least enough of it for this book.
Yeah.
I think, and we covered the prep team.
Yeah.
I did want to kind of talk about the prep team and Effie, because they're so much alike in certain ways.
And yet they're still part of, like, a hierarchy, because Effie is, like, up here and the prep team is...
Well, I'm talking about their attitudes toward the game a lot and stuff and things like that. At the end, I don't know what it was that happened at the end, but they basically mention how, like, it seems like Effie gets it at the end.
Effie knows that there's something. Well, Katniss mentions, I think, at the end, that she knows that there's some type of danger going on.
Right.
That, like, she's smart enough to realize that, whereas the prep team has no idea.
Right.
You know, they don't see the Capitol in that way.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and, you know, they don't get much exposure to what's actually going on in the districts either, whereas somebody like her
going out there
and actually seeing it, she can, you know, at least
exactly.
I think that's the biggest thing is between the prep team and Effie is that the prep team is completely in the Capitol and or until, you know, the tours, but even then Effie is.
She has realization.
Yeah.
I mean, just going back to the Capitol, they're brilliant at what they do because you're not allowed to travel between districts, you know? And Effie is different than the Capitol citizens because she does. Like, they know, and that's classic brainwashing, you know, you don't let them see what else is in the world.
Yep.
You know, even, no, anyway.
You know, if you put pressure on coal, it'll turn into pearls.
She's
not completely smart.
No, she's not. She does. She gets the ramifications of what happened.
Yeah.
And you really do, I think, see her as really unintelligent for most of it because she says that. Because every time she says something that's kind of all right, she follows it up with something horrible.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you hate her or just think she's stupid and she doesn't get it, but then she is smart. So I don't know.
Well, and here's the trick, too. Just really quick to throw it out there. I mean, she makes it... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to read your book.
Okay.
What I think of it is that she, in the moment, she doesn't realize how she sounds to other people because she's, I mean, because like you said, she is half capital and half district, but she's more capital than she is district in the fact that she can realize that when somebody has just stuck a middle finger at the capital, pretty much, there are going to be ramifications to that.
Right.
Because, I mean, they all knew about District 13 and what happened there.
Right.
So it's just like one of those things where though she does travel between those worlds, it's, she's got the personality of a capital person with the realization of the rest of the world in the back of her brain.
Yeah.
I mean, we've kind of talked about how the difference is that the capital citizens were not under threat, you know, from the Hunger Games. Yeah. But I think that's so brilliant because it's entertainment for them and it's literally punishment. For everyone else. Like you said, they remember what happened at District 13 because every year they have to remember that they have to, they're forced to remember it and they're forced to be punished for somebody else's mistake.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Quote unquote mistake.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's brilliant of the Capitol. Like,
they're, I mean, we can talk about them having eyes everywhere and stuff and that is scary and powerful, but that is not, that doesn't make them, that's not what makes them smart. I should say because, it's kind of common sense. You watch the people that you are controlling. But the things like that, like coming up with this to punish people, almost ensures that there's never another rebellion because
especially,
you know what they can do.
Especially keeping the district separate.
Keeping them separate.
With this competition, just the fact that they're put in to fight against each other, and also that the prize for the victor is that their district alone gets extra food.
Yeah.
So that means that you automatically have competition with the other districts.
The
you don't want to ally yourself with any of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you're not going in for just yourself anymore. It's everybody that you live with. That's another very important point.
So you have that the districts aren't going to rise up with each other because they have no reason to ally themselves. There's no rebellion there. There's no rebellion in the districts because you've got the people in the theme and the merchant people who don't want to interact because of the inequalities of the plethora.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just super, super brilliant.
It's smart.
Which I want to know what it's like in other districts too. Because we don't know necessarily are there two classes like that in other districts.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be, right? Because, like, say, Rue's district, we know about she's working in the fields, but they can't not have a town.
Yeah.
Because you always have to have a town to, you know, buy the things you can't pick in the fields and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I suppose that could be going on in all of the districts.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, be so one.
Really interesting.
Oh, it's so
we can talk all day.
I mean,
about
I could. I really could. And I could freaking write a psych paper on how brilliant the capital is.
Right.
But we can move on. Does anybody have any other characters that we haven't discussed? I think we covered them. We covered all of the major people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, any other little aspects? Nothing that we haven't brought up?
I don't think so.
Or favorite things? Or least favorite things? We've been pretty thorough. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of things, yeah.
Well, you know, if you think of something, feel free. Let's move on to the movie, though. Okay, so The Hunger Games is directed by Gary Ross. It stars Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth, Elizabeth Banks, Woody Harrelson, and Lenny Kravitz. I couldn't make that list shorter.
I understand.
And it comes out March 23rd.
Did you say Alexander Ludwig.
I didn't say Alexander Ludwig! How did I forget him? Stay crispy.
Loved his darling. It was just amazing. Did you see the one where I'm going to bed, but I just want to leave you with this thought? It is said that 4 out of every 5 people suffer from diarrhea. Does that mean one of them enjoys it? I mean, really? I just love that quote. Sorry.
I have to say, I would never know the wonder that is Alexander Ludwig's Twitter if it weren't for our good friend Sarah Johnson. She's the one that introduced us to Stay Crispy.
Yeah.
And it has been a pleasure saying it ever since. Anyways, I can't believe I forgot him.
Sorry.
But then I would have had to include... If I got into the tributes, it would just be a never-ending list. So.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just thought he needed special.
Yes, I needed to get all the way to Lenny Kravitz. That's where
I
drew the line. Who was not at the premiere, sadly enough. Anyways,
Put a green handprint on his ass.
I know. It's a good ass. I mean, it just is. Okay, anyways, the point is, it comes out March 23rd in both the U.S. and the U.K.
We already have our freaking preview ticket.
We do. We are going to dress up once again. Yeah. As the prep team in Cinna, or, well, Cinna's kind of part of the prep team, but you know. And we are going to go to the premiere, which is weirdly at, like, 8 p.m. on the 22nd, so we will be seeing it a full 8 hours before America. Yeah. It's 8 hours because we're only 4 hours difference right now.
Don't the time switch every night?
Oh, you know what? It switches over the 25th.
Okay.
So post. Post premiere. Yeah.
Sweet.
So let's move in back into the discussion that we were having earlier about how it's going to translate the book into film. We talked about it being in Katniss's head, getting to see other things. I did not mention but was thinking that it's gonna be good as far as action is concerned.
Yeah. I think it will be. A lot there. Obviously those are
right
there. I've heard that they've had to cut out a couple scenes in order to get it a, here is a 12 rating to keep it from being a 15 rating here.
I think that means the footage and they added some of the blood out.
That makes me sad.
How do we feel about it being 12 instead of 15?
Obviously it makes it a bigger audience for the filmmakers, so I see that it's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
However, they don't seem like 12-year-old books to me.
No. I agree.
I feel like what they're taking out, from what I've heard, isn't going to affect the story that the movies are trying to tell. It's just, you know, a little bit of...
gore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little excitement, I guess, if you want to put it that way, for the movie, which just the younger audience can't handle. So I'm okay with it. I obviously would prefer it unchanged, but it's not going to kill anything.
I don't feel like there was, as far as gore is concerned, really that much described in, I mean, do you?
The cornucopia at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember anything except for, like, some splatters, but, like, I don't feel...
But if they're going to be
showing it.
The big screen, that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Because it seems... I'm not sure. On the trailer, it looks like sometimes...
But she doesn't describe any of it, you know?
But then you might be getting into how much they're switching from the first person to the third person.
Right.
Because I'm wondering if they're going to be showing it at any point, how the Capitol or how the people in the district are watching this big screen where this action is happening.
Right.
You might actually see more than you heard about in the book.
Well, where I was going with that was... We didn't need to have a really descriptive gore to know that this is bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And like you said, 7 seconds?
Yeah.
That's not that much.
No,
not enough.
So I suppose it's better for... I don't feel like it's a 12-year-old movie, but I suppose that if it's better for it, then that's always, you know, a positive thing. I forgot. It was something I was thinking when we started this conversation about it being... Oh, I was thinking... We were talking about it being action, but I feel like there are a lot of points, especially in the arena, where Katniss is alone.
Yeah.
And the only way that we know in the books what is going on is by what she's thinking.
Yeah.
and we know that she is keeping her facade, strictly playing the cameras instead of telling us what she's actually thinking. So I wonder how that part, those parts where she's alone. I mean, there's the parts where she's with Rue, so at least she would have somebody to bounce these things off of. Yeah. But I'm not a fan of voiceovers.
I really hope they don't do that.
I doubt they'll do that.
I don't think so either. It doesn't seem like the type of movie that they're going for, but I'm just very intrigued.
Well, one thing I'm kind of looking forward to is seeing those other elements of what goes on in the arena, because, you know, it is a step back from Katniss, and you can kind of see where those, you know, I'm almost kind of anticipating to see in those moments where in the book she's thinking what's going on at the cornucopia, what are the careers doing. I'm almost anticipating seeing actually going to that and seeing those characters rather than her thoughts about them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's a way to kind of draw away from, you know, just her thoughts and, you know, the potential for like a voiceover of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, did you see the screen cap from the one trailer where it's all the game makers standing around the map?
Yes.
It looks so cool!
Yes, love that.
I didn't see that.
Yep, and that's
It's just a quick thing, but they screen capped it for in one of the fan sites, so you actually can look at it. And you see from above, and you see this big, like, oval that's, like, lit up, and it has, like, all of the kind of, like,
areas.
Sweet.
Yep.
Cool.
It's
like,
it's like a hologram of the arena.
Yeah.
Like
and then all of the game makers are, like, standing around and watching. So it's like a big map, basically, but cooler.
Yeah. And that plays into the whole pulling away from Katniss.
Yeah.
You get that awesome other,
And I was just thinking, it made me think of the thing that they put in her arm. The chip, so that they know always where she is. Like, that's probably where they
figure out where everybody is. And
I thought that was really cool.
They had a lot of balls of fire at them, like, where they're aiming.
I legitimately imagine, does she imagine this? Did she say she imagined some guy sitting in the thing playing? Because in my head, that's how it went.
Yeah.
It was like a video game, like this guy sitting in a video game, basically like you would at home.
Yeah. And she mentioned how whoever it was is laughing at the you know, the kind of hilarity of, well, the girl on fire, oh, we'll see how much she likes it now.
Yeah.
And,
That really reminded me of, like, video games and playing them and, like, obsessions with that and our willingness to kill people in games and stuff like that. Okay. Oh, okay. We need to wrap up. Okay. Okay. Can we just do concerns? Well, we kind of just did concerns, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody go around and tell one thing that they really want
to
see.
I am both excited and terrified to see the mutations. What they're going to do with those.
Those were probably the creepiest part of the books for me.
Yeah.
I remember when I read them the first time, I had to sleep with the light on because that was what kept me up after the book was finished.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to see how they get the opening ceremony outfits on the movie. Them on fire, I really am looking forward to seeing that.
I'm a little bit terrified. Not because of it, but I'm scared that they're going to mess it up.
I'm looking forward because I just want to see, like, visually, because I have a picture of it, I want to see how they visually portray that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I am personally looking forward to seeing the portrayal of the Capitol and of the citizens and the fashion. You know, I would. No. I honestly, that is really what fascinates me, to see how they, how the directors and all of that perceive the extravagance that the Capitol is supposed to be. Which is one thing I'm really upset with. I just remembered this. They cut out the scene, later book, sorry.
Thanks, Chase. Okay, well, on that note, I wanted to say that when we all dressed up as the prep team, Chase was the one going around being like, why can't we dress like this every day?
I love it.
Yep. I loved it too. Well, we already covered this, and so I feel bad reiterating, but it is literally what I wrote in my notes to say here, was seeing things outside of Katniss's knowledge, Haymitch, Thynna, or Peeta said behind, like, when they were not with her, to each other, to other people, to whatever they're doing while she's fighting for her life.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think that's concluding, and we are running out of time, and we took forever, and we knew we would, because this is an awesome book series.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
See, I was thinking when you were talking about it, well, earlier, I was like, okay, they usually do, like, 3 books. This one's going to take just as long as if there were 3 in there, because,
yeah.
I mean...
because we're too in love with it.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to go out for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah!
And get our green on.
Yeah.
So the next up... So the next episode, we're going to cover the Hunger Games movie. And you can find us at adaptationpodcast.blogspot.com to comment on the episode, find all of the show notes and links, and see what we're going to be covering in the future. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, like us on Facebook by searching Adaptation Podcast, or follow us on Twitter at AdaptationCast. Until next time, this is Adaptation reminding you,
silence is golden, but duct tape is silver. Use it well and use it often.
Often. Shut up, stupid people.